Hi, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, school has officially started in Putnam County with almost 12,000 students attending 21 different schools, so it's only fitting that our guest this week is the director of Putnam County Schools, Mr. Corby King. Corby, welcome to the show. You know, I think I referred to this as like this being our Christmas.
It is.
It's the first day of school, first
all
week of school.
All the build-up, yeah. All the excitement. You know, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like the beginning of a school year, opening school. And it is like Christmas, you know, it comes around, it's a fresh start,
yeah.
New faces, the students meeting new teachers getting new students, parents learning new car lines, which is...
learning new communication cool. platforms.
Yes.
Yeah. all the things.
But it's such a fun time of the school year for us. Students haven't seen their friends all summer.
Yeah.
And really for a lot of the teachers, it's like that too.
Yeah.
You leave in May and you might text now, which a few years ago we didn't have that. But teachers will text and stay in touch a little bit over the summer, but you don't really see each other.
No.
So coming back and you're welcoming all your friends
and family. You're like, who's this kid? He's grown a foot since last year.
Oh, that too, yeah. So it's great. It's a good
time.
Now,
what year is this for you?
This is year, I'm starting 26.
Wow.
Doesn't seem like it.
No.
It goes by so fast. They talk about it's biblical, the older you get, the faster time goes.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
It's true. So time goes by. It's like, we'll blink, it'll be fall break. So.
Well, you talk about some new things. And obviously in Putnam County, we've got two new principals. Now, we had two principals who were an interim last year. Three new principals.
Yeah,
that's right. Justin Campbell. How can I forget him?
I know, yeah.
That was early in the year, though. So, Justin Campbell at Upperman. We got Kathy Keowen at Cane Creek.
Yes.
And then, of course, Deborah Robbins at Sycamore.
That's right.
And it seems like they're all settling in pretty well.
They are. Veteran administrators in our school system.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to have. They've all served as assistant principals for several years. They were looking to make the next step. They wanted to move up to the principal role. So we're very fortunate we have people who are willing to do that. It's finding teachers, finding administrators is tougher than it was at once. The job is not easy. So finding someone who wants to do the job, who's ready and excited, to dig in and do the work alongside the teachers, getting to know students, we had people who were there. Deborah Robbins at Sycamore had been there for the past 10 years working with Miss Neighbors. That was an easy transition for her.
Sure.
Still, it's a little bit different when you talk to,
You're calling the shots now, that's right.
When I made that move from assistant director to director, all of a sudden the decisions, I say, oh, no, that's Mr. No, that's mine now.
That's right.
So Deborah's experiencing some of that.
Yeah.
Now it's hers. She can't say, you need to go see Miss Neighbors. No, it's her. But she's settling and doing a great job. Kathy, the same. Justin, they were ready.
Yeah.
Both had taught at the schools previously. Kathy had served at Cane Creek as a teacher before moving to various schools as an assistant principal. And Mr. Campbell had taught at Upperman High School previously before going to Prescott Middle as an assistant principal. They were ready.
Yeah.
They are ready, and they're off to a great start and building a lot of excitement in those buildings.
And then we got two principals that were – quote, interims last year, Karen Trentham at Cookeville High School and Ben Heron at White Plains Academy that have now officially taken over
Absolutely.
The roles.
They made that decision so easy for me.
Yeah.
It was a tough time. Anytime you have an administrative change in the middle of the school year, that's kind of tough. And that's why they had the interim tag.
Mm-hmm.
With Ms. Trentham, that was August, September. I don't remember now. It was a long time ago, it seems like. But when that changed, when Mr. Pettit resigned and she stepped in, we put the interim tag just because we're in the middle of the school year.
Right.
Same thing with Mr. Heron. Mr. Matheny, that was kind of a surprise to all of us when he decided that it was time for him to step back and retire.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly understand it. He put his time in and served the system and had a great career. So we moved Mr. Heron in the interim. But as we got to April and May, moving the interim tags, that was the easiest decision I probably had all spring. Both of them did a great job last year filling in that interim role and completing the school year. They stepped right into the roles seamlessly and just handled things very well at those schools. They're very passionate about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're passionate about their school and about their students and student success. And that's what we're looking for is people who want to do well, who want to make things better. And we're fortunate to have lots of those. here in Putnam County.
Speaking of principals, we just found out that Tara Brooks is a finalist for the Principal of the Year. And, oh, by the way, we have the reigning Principal of the Year
for the state of Tennessee
and Tina Francis at Jerry Whitson. So we could go two for two. We're looking to go back to back.
We are. I don't want to put that pressure on Tara because that's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But, man, she's amazing. She does a great job there at Prescott Middle. Their faculty, their students, again, people who love that building.
Yeah.
You've got faculty members out there, and the principals are just a representative of their faculty.
Yeah.
You know, they lead them, they make the decisions, but the faculty is what makes or breaks you as an administrator.
Yes.
And she has a wonderful faculty. She supports them and works with them. Their students, some amazing things are happening at Prescott Middle School academically. And Tara getting this recognition as a result of that. So hopefully she'll make it through this next round, be a finalist in the state, and maybe we'll go two for two. I don't know if that's ever happened in Tennessee.
That would be awesome.
But that would be awesome.
Well, speaking of Prescott and Prescott Middle School and Prescott Elementary, we'll talk about the elephant in the room or the car line in the room, as we should say. It hasn't been an easy commute for parents dropping their kids off, but it's not anything that we can control.
It's really not, and that's the hard thing. Is teachers in general mm-hmm. and administrators, we tend to be kind of control freaks. We want.
I wasn't going to say that.
You want things in your classroom to go a certain way. Right. Administrators want things at school to go a certain way. This one is out of our hands. The mm-hmm. construction project with TDOT, we knew things were going to be a little tight when they took the turning lane out and narrowed it to just two lanes.
Yeah.
That really complicated things, mm-hmm. but we're fortunate CPD is working with the Cookeville Police Department. You know, they're working with us to come up with a new traffic pattern.
Right.
It's not ideal, and we know that, and it creates hardships for some families, and we're I apologize for that. It's very difficult, but it's just part of the growth. Once we get the road open, once the lanes are developed and the paving is done out in, on Jefferson, it's going to be great, and things will move smoothly. We'll return to normal again. Car lines are never fun, but when you go to something like that, it's just it's awful.
And, we could be sitting here a year from now and talking about, how great is, South Jefferson now and how easy the traffic is flowing.
Until we get there.
And then it might be a construction project somewhere else.
That's the thing. Even last week one day, it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, so I wasn't in the middle of school traffic. But getting off of the interstate and turning right on Jefferson going towards Prescott, mm-hmm. from the interstate to the school was 25 minutes.
Wow.
And that's not on the school traffic.
Yeah.
That's just because you've got that narrow two lanes and there's nowhere for cars to go.
Yeah.
So this is going to take time. We urge patience. We're going to continue to work with them. The schools aren't counting tardies for those who are coming in. If you're stuck in the car line now, we understand that. It makes it difficult instructionally to start class on time. So I know that it's gotten better each day this week. Mm-hmm. It will continue to get better as parents figure out what time they need to leave so they can get to work on time and the other kids to school. Those things will get better. But and really, until that project is complete, we're going to have some headaches there. And hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later.
And it's part of the growth of Cookeville.
It is.
It's part of the growth. I mean,
you drive anywhere in town right now.
Down Highway 70. I got caught in, the one-lane paving project going on Highway 70. And then 10th Street has been tore up all summer.
Well, and we get those phone calls, why are they paving right now? We don't have any control over that. Those are calendars and schedules that in the school system, unfortunately, we just can't call TDOT and say, hey, this is when you need to pave Highway 70.
Although you'd like to be able to do that.
We would like to. Yes. We'd love for them to have started that, May 31st and been done before we got back in school. But that's not how that works.
Right.
And it creates more hardships for everybody until we figure some things out. And we've got several construction projects going on right now.
Yes.
With Highway 70, 10th Street, Jefferson.
Everywhere you go, it seems like there's orange barrels everywhere.
But it is part of the growth. Our community is thriving and doing well, and it is part of the growth.
And talking about growth, of course, the new Parkview School is finally open, and what a beautiful school.
Beautiful
that is.
School. Again, it's not perfect. There's still some things to work on there, but it's a beautiful, beautiful building. The traffic is working out better than we expected. The roundabout actually is helping, I think, move some of the cars around there. Still got some work to do on the outside. We'll get grass planted soon. Hopefully we'll get that 5/8 wing put on. within the next 3 or 4 years, but if we keep growing, we'll have to have that.
Right.
The playground is not, you know, this was a shock to me. I guess should have known better, paid more attention here. You know, the last few schools we built, you know, the school board would put in $25,000-$30,000 for startup playground type stuff. Well, we increased that to $50,000 on, you know, for playground equipment at Parkview.
Right.
And we go out there, it bought two pieces of equipment.
Wow.
$50,000 bought us a swing set and a little climbing jungle gym.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's wow.
Yeah.
So we're having to revisit that, look at, okay, what can we do? Thankfully, we had some parents and some community volunteers jump in and help bring some tables and things from the old school.
Yeah.
And our maintenance guys, you know, help facilitate some of that. I think they're still working on getting some of the old playground equipment. But we're exploring, okay, what else?
$50,000 just doesn't buy the same anymore.
It's like, no, it just, that was shocking.
Yeah. You know?
And we can't go to Walmart, Lowe's,
yeah,
Home Depot, whatever, and
right,
buy it. It has to be a commercial grade to meet, you know, the insurance regulations, all those things. So a few little things we're still working on at Park View, mm-hmm, but overall, man, what, you know, a great environment, beautiful.
Yeah.
And those students are so excited going in, walking the halls, and you see those big ceilings, and
yes,
the kindergartners walking in,
yeah,
and it's like, wow, that was fun.
And the gym is nice.
Beautiful gym.
Yeah.
And again, we went ahead and built the interior spaces,
sure,
for the K-8.
Right.
So, yes, it's much larger than a K-4 gym anywhere else, but that's because you're going to have the 5-8, and
yes,
you've got to have a regulation playing floor for your athletic teams, practice gyms. So it is a large gym. You know, you can divide that into two courts or three going the other way, and have multiple practices going on at one time once the 5-8 wing is added. So gym, library, cafeteria, those spaces were built for the future addition.
I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. Well, this is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and our guest this week is Corby King, the director of Putnam County Schools. Well, let's talk about transportation a little bit. Ron Chaffin seemed to think that everything was going pretty smooth from a bus,
it is, yeah,
bus perspective.
Knock
so that's
on wood,
that's always
bring that
good
up.
Yes.
You know, Ron does a great job out there. Our bus drivers are amazing. You know, learning the new students, picking up new routes, moving some folks around. We're more fully staffed than we've been in several years at transportation. I'm sure we could always use a few people, if
sure,
extra drivers.
That's great, though.
But it really is. So, you know, we're not starting out the year having to double a bunch of routes and things that we've had to do in the past. So that helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, we can keep that tight momentum going and keep people employed and wanting to drive a bus, because that takes a special person to get on the roads at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. But that's how our students start our day. We need good people to do that. That's the first face that our students see in the mornings,
right,
and the last one in the afternoons. And thankfully, we have lots of wonderful bus drivers that are ready to welcome students on and wish them a good evening when they get off, and that helps.
And from a curriculum perspective, Dr. Dana Wood, K-4, Mr. Bubba Winningham, Dr. Bubba Winningham,
yeah, mm-hmm,
doing the 5 through 12. Has anything changed as far as curriculum goes this year?
There's not really any big changes. You know, we're just continuing to increase the rigor.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, in all of our schools, we want our students to achieve high success rates.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, it's having high expectations for students. It's pushing them a little more, digging deeper into the curriculum. No big changes, no big shifts, but we are, you know, increasing the focus on making sure that we're teaching at grade level,
mm-hmm,
in the classroom. That's the work that we're doing and what our students do now. It's amazing, and it's difficult. You know, from when we were in school, you know, like the math that we're doing in third grade now, we didn't do it till fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah.
Same thing with reading. You know,
mm-hmm,
they're reading books much earlier than we were, and that carries all the way through. But that rigor has to be there to meet the demands of the state expectations that we have.
Right.
They increased the expectations, and so as the state increases that, we have to up our game as well. The future ready time, you know, that used to be called RTI, but all of our students in future ready time, filling learning gaps, We've got the largest number of our students or percentage of our students score in approaching categories when you look, and parents will understand we have approaching, meeting expectations, exceeding expectations, or below expectations on the other end. But the majority of our students are in that approaching, which is just a good average student. But in Tennessee, the way that they tend to report that is, well, those students didn't meet expectations. No, that's not. They might be scoring at grade level. You might be reading. You might be, you know, have a B or C on your report card, and still be in that approaching category, because that's just that's where a good average student would fall. But that's how Tennessee state labels us. But we want to increase that, what they call success rate, the students who meet and exceed expectations. We had big gains last year in both categories.
Yes.
So more students than ever meeting expectations, more than ever exceeding expectations. We want to continue moving students from that approaching to meeting and exceeding. But to do that, we have to increase the rigor in our classrooms and use that future-ready time more effectively as well. And so our teachers are working hard at doing that.
You know, when you look back at last year's school year, there were so many good things that I don't think we really had a chance to wrap it all up last year and talk about some of the great things that happened. They really kind of give you some momentum. The TCAP scores was obviously one of those things, is being able to build on those.
Our TCAP scores went up. Our ACT scores went up.
Yeah.
Still not where we want to be, but they went up. The one we're probably most proud of, our future-ready graduates, which is the indicator the state uses to say, yeah, this is a student ready to go to the workforce or college.
Mm-hmm.
We went from 43 to 56% of our students meeting that expectation, which the future-ready benchmark is a tough one. You know, it's a student that's either got a 21 ACT, hitting 21 on all the benchmark ACT components, or has two industry credentials along with the benchmark score. You know, there are different ways to make that future ready. It's not just like, oh, you graduate, you get it.
Yeah.
So we increased that percentage. That's big.
Yeah.
We're excited about that. We're continuing to increase the number of students in work-based learning. Students going in, not just, this is our college-bound students too. This isn't just our students going into trades.
Yeah.
This is our college-bound students, whether they're in a mechatronics class, welding class, but they're going to be a future engineer. Maybe they're in that EMT, EMR class, criminal justice, but they're going to go on to college to complete something along that field.
Right.
For my daughter, who's a senior this year, she's been in nursing classes all through high school, so she's going to graduate with her, assuming she passes the test. I think she will, but to see it, she'll have her CMA, the Certified Medical Assistant, and she's going into nursing school from here. And she'll have clinical experience in nursing, sometime this year. They'll get out into the workforce. We've got more students than ever getting into the workforce and more industry partners. And again, that's so critical for us.
Yeah.
Having industry partners, people here in town, instead of saying, oh, these kids won't work. No, we've got kids that'll work.
Yes, we do.
We've got kids who'll show up on time, they'll work, they'll be there. And if we can get them aligned in high school, then the employers are hiring the people they want, the kids are getting jobs they want, or they're going to college and completing, they know that's the path they want. Or when they do that workforce piece and they're like, oh, wait, I don't like the sight of blood. Maybe nursing is not for me. Maybe I need to change, whatever that may be.
Right.
So we're identifying that early on, and that's key to the success of our community as well, is keeping people here. We want to provide opportunities, and we want our kids to thrive and do well when they leave us.
And you talk about the CTE program. They received a big $50,000 grant during the summer, which is always a boost. Anytime you get the grant money is
that's
great.
That's right. You know, it goes directly back to the students. It's more in programming. It goes for supplies. It goes to add, maybe a teacher here, there, a program we didn't have, or maybe there was a shortfall somewhere. But that grant will go to buy more supplies, more equipment. Again, we want to use the machines we have in our mechatronics classes or what they have in our factories.
Right.
The logistics simulators is what they, if you're going to drive a truck, this is what we're going to use.
Yeah.
If it's cosmetology, we want the current trends. You know, if we go, you and I go get a haircut, we want them to do it right.
It doesn't take long.
It really doesn't. So, but we want to make sure that the stuff that we're providing in our classrooms is aligned industry standards. And those type grants help us do that.
Yeah. Well, academic success. We've talked about, you know, academic standards. Let's talk about some athletic success.
We got to the old sports editor here.
Yeah, we got to. I mean, this was great.
And I was a officiated high school. High school baseball and basketball for about 25 years.
Yeah.
So athletics, that's something near and dear, I know, to both of our hearts.
Absolutely. What a fun year.
You know, we had teams in state, you know, in the state tournament, you know, two of our girls teams in state tournament, boys teams, both got to, you know, Upperman and Cookeville got there, Cookeville in the championship game, Upperman in the championship game, for girls.
Upperman football in the championship game.
We're going to leave somebody out.
Girls doubles in the championship. Yeah. They finished second.
They did, you know, the Upperman volleyball.
Went to the state. Yes.
We had runners from the state. We had Cookeville tennis in the state.
Yes.
We had, oh my gosh, yeah, we are. We're going to leave somebody out because I didn't make notes on all this.
It was great.
So many successes. So players, coaches, if we didn't mention you here, great job. We are proud of you.
Oh, man.
But we had so much without having the notes in front of us. It's hard. That's a good problem to have.
I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. Well, this is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and our guest today is Corby King, the director of Putnam County Schools. When we talk about looking back at last year, and we had, again, not just athletic successes and some academic successes, we had six reward schools.
The most we've ever had.
Six reward schools.
And that's a high bar, too, and something that we were very proud of in the school system. Again, and that's based on our academic successes, academic achievements. But both some of the schools, because of the academic achievement, some for growth, which is huge. You know, we don't hit achievement marks if students don't hit certain growth measures.
Right.
So, again, having six schools, some of those for the first time ever, a reward school, delivering those messages and just kind of, you know, we take some balloons and some cake for the faculty and go make the announcement that they had just been named a reward school.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the principals get so excited. They get a banner from the state. We hope we maintain those. That's hard to do.
Sure.
Some schools are able to do it, but that's a hard bar to hit every year. But we want to maintain those, and then hopefully we'll add some more.
Well,
we've got some that were so close last year.
And I think some of the principals have already said, they're like, we're going to be a reward school this
year.
They have. I mean, you see these others, and it kind of, like you said, it's a friendly rivalry.
It is.
Yeah.
And the principals, you know, they're pushing, they're trying to get there. And,
yeah.
and within two-tenths, three-tenths of a point, you know, there's a grade scale there that determines the reward school. Big long formula, lots of data. We'd have to have Mr. Stickler come walk us through all that fun. But
we don't have time for all that.
It's a big formula and lots of different components that go into that. But we had two, three schools that were just right there.
Yeah.
And I'm so hoping this year they're gonna jump over that bar. For them, for their students, it feels good to get that win and get that acknowledgement that we're doing good work.
Yeah.
In our schools, our people are doing good work. Our community is getting a good value from our public schools.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money goes into public schools. We
want
to be good stewards of
Absolutely.
That. There's a certain expectation from the community that we're going to prepare your children to be successful when they leave, whether, again, going to workforce, junior college, TCAT, four-year university. And I'll speak, you know, my son's getting ready to start his second year in Chattanooga at UTC. He was well prepared going in last year. He had a great year, and I hear, you know, all of his friends, you know, they've been out of the house over the summer. They all had good years. They were all successful, and they got that undergrad preparation right here in our school system at Monterey High School, Cookeville High School, Upperman High School, and fortunately, you know, I'm around kids from all of them as they've moved on, and they all had great years.
Yeah.
So we want to continue that success. We want to continue preparing them. And then those who don't want to go into school that are coming out here and working,
right.
Hey, you know, be successful and contribute back to the community.
Absolutely.
That's what we want.
Yeah. So. And we look back, and there, one of the things I love is, you know, I come from a military family. My dad was World War II veteran, and this year we were recognized, two of our schools, for being military friendly.
That's right, the Purple Star schools. That again, just saying that we recognize if you've got a parent, you know, family member serving in the military, Moving in, it takes a little bit of extra connection there because you know that could happen in the middle of the year.
Absolutely.
Or a parent that gets deployed in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Or have to go on assignment somewhere. Those students just need a little extra check-in. And we, our counselors and teachers are very cognizant of that and wanting to support those students and families. So a huge recognition for our schools who received that.
And, you know, if we're kind of looking toward what we're looking forward to in 24-25, I've got to say that staying on the military subject, yeah. You know, the Veterans Day programs that our yeah. schools put out, and not just one. I mean, I think we had 13 or 14 veterans programs we went to. That, you know, to me, that was one of the highlights of the whole year.
It's a good thing. You know, and we get questions around that every year, too, because our school calendar, we have a committee every 3 years that gets together and makes the recommendation to our school board for our school calendar.
Right.
And one of the things that we get questions about that we've not ever taken off for Veterans Day. But we use that to celebrate and honor and actually teach our students.
Yeah.
So our schools, they talk about Veterans mm-hmm. Day, rather than, you know, for families, if you've got a mom, dad, brother, someone who's in the military and they want to check a student out on that day and go to the parades and things, we understand that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of our students, yeah. that would just be a day at home. So instead of that, let's learn, you know, what this is all about here.
Yeah.
And honor and appreciate our veterans. And our schools do a great job of that. I was able to make it to Upperman, Cookeville, and Monterey.
Yeah.
All three of they staggered them last year so we could make it to all three. Very moving programs honoring our veterans. And that's something that we do look forward to every year. So.
You know, something else we look forward to every year, and we probably don't mention it a whole lot, but is the fine arts, the band, the chorus, the plays, all those things. Had a chance to go out and check out band camp a little bit this summer. And let me tell you, they were out there sweating, working hard in the heat.
On the pavement. You know,
pavement.
Our high school band kids practice in the parking lots on the asphalt. And, you know, everybody knows the heat index on what we've had July and August.
Right.
And they all have that 2-week band camp right before school starts.
Yeah.
You know, heat index is above 90, 95 degrees, and they're out there pounding that pavement, and it's an all-day camp for them for that 2 weeks. You know, people talk about the football two-a-days. Well, our band kids are out there all day
all
doing
day.
The same thing.
Yeah.
You know, all of our students, they really push into that. We have professional caliber performances at
yes.
our high schools,
yes.
Something we're so proud of. In our band and chorus, that starts in our middle schools.
Yeah,
our middle school band and chorus teachers do an amazing job. And our elementary,
yes.
really getting them excited.
Yeah.
You know, like, let me back up. I don't leave them out because our
right.
elementary, you know,
that's
chorus teachers
do. That's where they start singing. That's where they kind of get their voice.
They get excited and they yeah. go to middle school and they want to be in band or chorus. And they do, even the athletes, you know, mm-hmm. it's not just, you don't have to choose one or the other.
Right.
You can be in both.
Absolutely.
You can be an athlete and be in the band. You
yeah.
can be an athlete and be in the chorus. And we've got students who do that mm-hmm. successfully and do that very well. And then when you get, you know, our high school, something we're really excited about this year, we've not had that dedicated band necessarily in Monterey.
Yes.
But we're starting a band chorus theater program at Monterey High School this
yes.
year. We're really excited about that and seeing the progression of those students as well.
And I think they're super excited about
they
that,
really
too.
They really are.
Yeah.
They are.
Going to have some band and chorus on the mountain.
It is. It's going to be fun.
Singing and playing on the mountain.
Hey, they're super talented kids up there. We've had that, you know, various performances.
Yeah.
You know, some guitar here, there, piano
right.
or vocal stuff.
Yeah.
But now to have a dedicated band
that's
and really expand those, it's going to be exciting.
So if we look at some of the things that you're looking forward to, and I'm going to go ahead and throw out the obvious. Your daughter Cosby is senior at Upperman High School.
She is.
You're going to have that opportunity here in May to hand her diploma like
yeah.
you did Ross. And
yeah.
Obviously that will be an emotional moment. But seeing her during her senior year, this has got to be special.
It really is. You know, and it is for any parent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of emotions that come with that. I think the good Lord uses that senior year to prepare us for them being gone. Because
yeah.
by the time we get to the end of it, I'm okay with y'all moving on.
Yeah.
You know. that is a special thing, something
yeah.
that our teachers at the school get to have, and I get to have that. I had that opportunity with Ross as the director. been able to hand him his diploma. And that was big. I did tear up a little. They give me a hard time at home. I'm a bit of a teddy bear.
Yeah. Oh, when the daughter does it, just wait and see. Well, it'll be waterworks.
She says, "Oh, you just cried a little." She says, "You'll ball." And I said, "No, I've already been through this. I'm good now." I said, "You're not getting any tears." Yeah, she says, "You know, wait and see." But very fortunate with both of them. But, you know, that's a special thing that we have. And our teachers there at the high schools or supervisors, you know, if they want to present, we have a few every year that will present those diplomas. And it's one of the small perks we get for being in the position. And it's something I appreciate.
Yeah. So what's some of the other things that you might be looking forward to or maybe that we should be on the lookout for this school year?
You know, again, just continued success, you know, increasing our community partners, seeing our students succeed. I've been in several schools this week, and the smiling faces, they're already learning. They're already, even though, you know, yeah, we're already having to take notes, and we're already getting ready for tests and homework, and but they're smiling.
Jump right in, yeah.
It is. Like everybody, you know, I look forward to football season, basketball, soccer, all the things, mm-hmm. you know, watching our students progression in golf. We have the bass fishing team.
That's right.
You know, seeing our students succeed in those areas.
But didn't have those when we were in school?
That's right. One I want is the trap team.
The trap team, yes.
Yeah, we had a student you know, state
to
champion.
To be in the Olympics.
Yeah. But seeing our students succeed academically, mm-hmm. socially, emotionally, seeing the growth of our students, that's always fun. Before we leave the graduation thing, I do want to mention, you know, because of the way our calendar falls this year, this is something we're going to have to talk about through the year.
Yeah, it's after Memorial Day.
Graduation weekend is Memorial Day weekend this year.
Wow.
And that's something we'll have to talk through as we go through the year. But
we started back a little later than normal.
We did. And, you know, it's just how the calendar falls. We have to do 180 days.
Right.
Our school calendar, it doesn't matter. You have to do 180 days. Mm-hmm. So it's either we start earlier in July.
Right.
Or we end a little bit later in May.
Yeah.
And we had lots in our previous calendar cycle. All the feedback was we don't want to start, you know, that July 22nd, 23rd when we had to. So to push that to the end of July – and then an election year, so our schools are closed on election. We have that agreement with the election commission, and so many of our schools are polling locations.
Right.
We're closed on election days. So to move the start date to August, like what we did, July 31st, August, that pushes us till after Memorial Day. So we do have to come back those 4 days after Memorial Day this year. And graduations are actually on Memorial Day weekend. So that we start on Thursday with the Vital School,
right.
Friday night Upperman, and then on Saturday, Cookeville and Monterey of Memorial Day weekend. So that's something just for families as you start planning vacations and thinking, because we know so many families like to take off and go right there at Memorial Day. This year we've got one more week, so just hang with us before we're out.
And, you know, that's because you have 2 weeks of fall break.
Right.
And 1 week of spring break.
It is. And that's something, too. You know, the systems that start back at a similar time that still get out before Memorial Day don't have 2 weeks of fall break.
Right.
Most systems have a one-week fall break, one-week spring break.
Yeah.
We've been on the two-week fall break for 20-something years now. Mm-hmm. It was in my first years in the classroom when we went to this.
Yeah.
And back then, it was a two-week fall and a two-week spring. Mm-hmm. And we narrowed that several years ago to 1 week in the spring because of all the snow days and the breaks and things in the spring. The two-week fall break has remained very popular with families when we do the survey each time we have a new calendar committee come together. And I think it's a lot of because we've got so many students in split homes.
Yeah.
So mom gets a week of vacation with the child and dad gets a week of vacation with the child. And so it works well for those families. That want to travel and do some things, and it's just a good break. So that one has remained popular with our families.
Yep.
So that's why we still have a 2 week fall break. But if at some point, like no, we don't like that anymore, the survey goes out. I think we're another year away from a new calendar cycle. This is year two of the 3 year cycle. We typically start putting that together towards the end of the second year, so we can stay a year ahead at least and give families some notice. But
so, mark your calendars.
When the survey comes. Yeah, mark your calendars for graduation dates, and we're coming back after Memorial this year and next year. This fall's 2 years.
Yeah.
And then when we create the new cycle, you know, make sure to participate in the surveys.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to thank our guest, Corby King, the director of Putnam County Schools. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.